Okay, the recording is now going.
Thank you, and good morning, good afternoon, good evening, everyone, to this cross-committee working group on internet governance. Today, we've got a number of things we'll be discussing. First, we'll have an update on the internet governance activities since our last call. There have been quite a number of things going on. Then we'll have a discussion on the charter. We have some feedback from the different supporting organizations and advisory committees. And then if we have time, we'll have a brief overview of where we are on the ITUD membership application from ICANN, and also any other business. And if anybody has any amendments to make to the agenda, then you can ask now, I guess, if you wish to add or amend things on the agenda. I'm not seeing anybody putting their hand up, and I'm not sure how many people have used Zoom before. It's the first time we're using it for this process, but it's quite straightforward, hopefully. If you're not able to use Zoom to raise your hand, and I know that it does happen sometimes, for some platforms, then just shout your name out and I'll give the floor over to you. And I'll turn over to Desiree Cabrera to do the roll call, please.
Okay, and apologies if I inadvertently mangle your name. In the room, we have Olivier Crepin-LeBlanc, Jahangir Hussain, Ben Wallace, Joffrey Karageya, Jim Prendergast, Sridip Raya Maji, Sivasubramanian, M, Yerjo Lanispro, Leonard Obonyo, and for staff, we have Deirdre Sajansky, Mandy Carver, Nigel Hickson, Venny Markovsky, Vera Major, and myself, Desiree Cabrera.
Thank you for this. Did you mention Jim Prendergast as well on there? Because I see him listed on the phone.
I think I did, but just in case, we also have Jim Prendergast in the room as well.
Okay, fantastic. Thanks very much for this, Desiree. Let's get the call started. And the first thing that we have on our agenda is an update on the internet governance activities since our last call. And for this, I'll turn over to Nigel Hickson, who will be able to lead this part of the call. Nigel, you have the floor.
Yes, thank you very much, Olivier, and good afternoon, good morning to all. As Desiree said, we've got a number of people from the organisation on the call, and no doubt they'll jump in. Fanny Markowski in particular will be able to give us a brief update on what's happening at the UN. As you know, Fanny has been very helpful in updating this group on the cybersecurity activities at the UN. Perhaps if I may start, I mean, we didn't specifically add anything to any other business, but perhaps we ought to have a more general discussion about the WSIS forum. I could report on the WSIS forum, but perhaps we could have a separate brief discussion on that, because obviously the cross-community working group had an involvement in that back in April. So other activities that are sort of taking place at the ITU itself, in addition to the WSIS forum, there's been various study groups and working groups that we've been associated with. Study group 20 in relation to smart cities and the Internet of Things, and we also this year attended the study group of ITUD. This is the development sector which we're joining, and we'll come on to that. The development sector has two study groups, and we attended one of the study groups that touches on things like OTT, over the top services, broadband services, cloud services, and a number of policies surrounding those type of services. Away from the ITU, this week at the United Nations, we have the annual Commission on Science and Technology for Development, the CSTD. This is an annual meeting of the Commission, and half a day of it is dedicated to looking at the WSIS action lines. So this is the WSIS agenda as adopted in 2005, and discussing progress since then. And we had a good session on Tuesday afternoon on that, chaired by Peter Major, in which we contributed some of the work we're doing on IDNs and universal acceptance. And the other main feature of this CSTD week, and some of you will know, and many in this group, I don't think Marilyn's on, but Marilyn in particular, have been involved in this before. And this is the drafting of the WSIS resolution. So this is a UN resolution that goes through the machinery here in Geneva. At the end of the week, goes up to ECOSOC in New York, is adopted by ECOSOC later in the spring, and then goes to the UN General Assembly. This resolution is touches on a number of issues, including the vexed question of enhanced cooperation, which we've discussed on this group before. This is the role of governments in the whole internet governance debate. The resolution started discussion last night and is going on today and this evening, and will go on tomorrow during the day and might go into tomorrow evening, and then it will be agreed. Nothing too controversial. Enhanced cooperation is still there, but no further action is called for it on the moment at the present. So we'll update the group on that. I think I put around some of the CSTD documents to the group. The high-level panel digital cooperation, which we've discussed before, and of course we had a briefing of the high-level panel at our meeting in Kobe from the Secretariat. As I understand it from the Secretariat, talking to them earlier today, the report is on track to be delivered to the Secretary General in the next few weeks. As has been discussed before, it will also be made public soon after it's submitted to the Secretary General, so it will be out for us to look at and assess and whatever. Perhaps Venny would like to say something about the IGF and the UN, perhaps.
Can you hear me? Hello?
We can hear you.
We can hear you, Benny. Yep.
Okay, I was thinking I'm still muted. So, the IGF we actually had a session yesterday at the UN hosted by the German mission and the UAE mission on the IGF with participation by Lynn St. Amour, the chair of the MAG, Jane Coffin from ISOC, myself, Teresa from Diplo Foundation, and a couple of diplomats people from the German coast. And everything seems scheduled as with the usual German preciseness. There is a lot of expectations that it will be a very successful meeting. The government is engaged, the German parliament is engaged, and also the German government has allocated a pretty big amount of money for people from developing world to go to Berlin. So I don't know if you can reach out to your communities, but let them check the IGF website where all the information is or will be published. We've also finished with the evaluation of the workshops. And then we have a discussion which is going on as we speak before they are finally published. There were not as many workshops as last year, but there were some of them were really, really well prepared. And also we finished with the... that's on the Mac side. We also, I will use the opportunity also to say that we heard from the Secretariat actually about the Day Zero event. I'm almost sure that they're publicly available. Somebody can correct me if they're not. They're on the IGF website, a lot of them, 52 actually, and with a lot of organizations behind them. ICANN has also one of the Day Zero events. It's called the Evolving Ecosystem, ICANN's Role in the Security and Stability of the Internet. Shall I use the time, actually, Olivier, to talk also about what happens at the UN?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, so Nigel already mentioned the focus this year will be cybersecurity, but that doesn't mean there are not other things happening. And parallel to that, there are things happening outside of the UN which might have some impact. Interestingly enough, one of the key New York conferences on all things internet called Techonomy had taken as a main subject, if you will, the sustainable development goals. So they were talking all the time about SDGs. I spoke at one of the panels. There were a lot of people talking about what's happening at the UN. So that shows you that there is an understanding that whatever happens at the UN might actually have impact on the global development of the internet. So we are monitoring the cybersecurity groups. There are two of them. They will be dealing with, one of them is called Open-Ended Working Group, and the other one is called the Governmental Group of Experts. And they're both going to discuss cybersecurity issues. They're still not quite clear who exactly and how these two groups will cooperate or coordinate their work between each other. So we don't know yet that as we speak, but in the beginning of June is the organizational meeting for the Open-Ended Working Group, and we will know what's happening. There is also a side event at the UN where my colleague Joe Catapano will be participating, and will inform us after that what has happened, and also other people will be there from ARIN, ISOC, and other organizations. This is a side event, not the actual meeting at the UN. As you guys know, the UN working groups, which are established with the with resolutions by the General Assembly, do not allow other actors but member states unless somebody is invited. So far, we don't know whether there will be some organizations invited or individuals as experts. And most probably, they will decide that in the beginning of June when they meet. What else? The next MAC meeting is also in the beginning of June, so before the ICANN meeting. And then after, it's June 5th to 7th in Berlin, we will not be at the venue where the conference will take, the IGF will take place, which reminds me, if any of you is planning to go to this, to the IGF, you should probably start booking hotels and stuff, but just to make sure that you have a place near the conference center. I think maybe that's all. And if you have any questions, just go ahead and ask.
Thank you very much for this, Vinny. Nigel, are there any other updates? And then we can open the floor for discussion on all of these issues.
Thank you, Olivier. No, I mean, there's a number of other things, but I mean, it's probably best to have a discussion. And then I see Marilyn Cage is on the line, and I was name calling her in relation to the CSD. Earlier, but I mean, if anyone has any questions, we can try our best. There's been various other events happening globally, but we don't know everything.
Okay, thanks for this, Nigel. I note Olivia speaking. I note in the chat there are questions as to how to what hotels are close to the venue. I'm not sure if you can check where the venue is, because I personally don't know, and I don't know Berlin much either. I had one question, and the floor, by the way, is open for questions and comments now. Regarding the UN processes and the whole focus on cybersecurity, what aspect of cybersecurity are they looking at? Because that's a very, very wide space, I guess. And yeah. I mean, are they looking at content? Are they looking at hacking, malware? Are they back on their idea of critical internet resources? And by that, is DNS one of the things that they are putting within their cybersecurity remit?
Well, this is Veni again. They may look at everything they want. Because one of the groups, the governmental group of experts, has actually existed before, and they have looked, in fact, at critical internet infrastructure, norms of behavior of countries, etc., etc. But this governmental group of experts has only 25 members, and they come from 25 countries, so geographically distributed as per the UN requirements. The open-ended working group, even though it's called open-ended, it's not because it's open to others. It's open to every member state, so all member states will be there. And they would have to reach some consensus on what they will be discussing, and that's why they're meeting in the beginning of June to figure it out. Their first formal meeting will be in the beginning of September. And it's very difficult to say exactly where they want to focus. I mean, you can figure out some of the items because of the countries that were proposing the resolution for the creation of those groups. So the OEWG was proposed by Russia, supported by G77. The GG was proposed by the US, supported also. Obviously, they both were supported by G77. It's going to be interesting to see what will happen. I would not be surprised, Olivia, to answer your question, if the DNS in particular comes into question. But because they are one of the open-ended working group will continue working until next fall, 2020, and the GG until 2021, they have the opportunity, to expand or to focus on several items and try to reach some consensus on this. It's going to be a very challenging task because the last GG, with 25 members, did not reach consensus. So how are they going to reach consensus among 193 countries? I'm not quite sure. But it's a first try when they do two parallel groups, and we'll see what comes out of it. In any case, we are talking to the secretariat, we're talking to the UN staff and to the diplomats, and we are explaining informal or informal gatherings that we are here to provide factual information, and we continue doing our workshops and participate in educational efforts among the UN staff and UN diplomats on the subject, what ICANN does, how the internet works. So we try to be as best objective provider of factual information as possible. And we hope that this will be enough for them when they start their negotiations behind closed doors to have an understanding of what can be achieved with technical means and what can be achieved with policy means, which is, of course, their prerogative anyway. But we just don't want them to mistakenly think that the technical aspects of the internet can solve some of their problems.
Thank you, Veni. Could you just remind us, for us that haven't followed this that closely, what were the topics historically that had been brought forward by some countries that would relate to ICANN?
Yeah, usually this is the conversation has been going about the behavior of countries in case of cyber incidents, and how they should not attack each other's critical internet resources. There has been a continuous effort by Russia, China, the BRICS countries have been discussing all this in a number of ways, you know, at their meetings. The US and the Western world, so to speak, has been more into, has not been actually very active in that area. And we have been asked a couple of times, we meaning, you know, ICANN has been asked a couple of times to provide experts to the GGE in an informal setting. Again, they cannot, they do not allow experts to, you know, to sit during the negotiations and during the deliberation, but in our other settings outside of the UN. And, you know, the questions would be, for example, is there a technical way or a standard to explain or to make sure to answer the question of attribution, you know, who has done something. I'm just giving you as an example, you know, what has been, what questions have been. So it's there is no, I wouldn't say that there are a group of countries that necessarily push one way or the other. There is some movement between ideas and views all the time.
Okay, thanks for this, Vinny. I note in the chat a question from Jeffrey Carigaya asking if there was any place to grow national IGF. And I do see Marilyn has provided a response, but I know that some people are just on the phone.
I'm not sure, is this a question or it seems Marilyn
yeah,
already answered
that? Is there any plan in place to grow national IGF? Oh, I see you're only on the phone too. Okay.
Yeah. So I don't know what the answer
was. Shall I give the first, Marilyn?
Yeah. I think, Vinny, if it's okay with you, I should probably take this.
Marilyn Kate.
I agree.
So, Jeffrey, under the previous MAG chair, I was appointed. My name is Marilyn Kate. I was appointed as the substantive coordinator to grow and enhance the role of the NRIs. And we've grown the number of NRIs from 56 to 111. They're all in various stages. And in that 111 are also a number of youth initiatives. But there's also a focus right now. We were successful working together from the community. We were successful in bringing into the secretariat a focal point from named Anya Genko, who is responsible for engaging very directly in supporting the existing NRIs, but also working to establish more. I work with her very closely, but so do many, many others. One thing I would just say is right now, enhancing the engagement of the existing NRIs and the future NRIs to be able to take effective positions and engage with their governments is one of the key issues that is facing the NRI network. If you're not already signed up for the NRI network, I will privately send you the link and Anya will add you. I'm going to give two examples. In Nigeria, the national IGF actually accomplished something really, really major in that they challenged the lack of engagement and the now customarily the recommendations, messages from the national IGF are given to the ministry, and the ministry has agreed to hold a consultation to discuss how to make the changes in the recommendations. The second major recommendation from Nigeria was that UN delegations would include at least one or two private sector advisors. And I don't mean business, I mean private sector. That could be the technical community, the NGO, or business. So those changes have begun to happen. That's also the case in some of the other NRIs, but we need many, many more of those changes where this kind of information that Vinny is providing can go back to the NRIs, and the NRIs can then customize how they engage with their governments, reaching, and Vinny will help me on this, but getting a démarche sent from a national level into a mission, either in Geneva or in New York, it's a big step. It's hard, but but it has happened before. And I think, Vinny, if you don't mind my saying this, I think this is how we might be very, very effective in leveraging the voice of the NRIs and helping them figure out how to démarche by working with their ministries locally to get messages then back into what's going on in groups like this at the UN.
Yeah, I agree with what you say, Marilyn. This is Vinny again. And that's exactly what has been happening. You said it has happened. It continues to happen even now. As we speak, there are countries which are taking expertise and taking outcomes of their national IGFs, or sometimes even without necessarily calling it an IGF, and they provide this information back to the from the capital to the missions, and that's very helpful for our work because we hear messages that come from not the foreign ministries, but like the telecom ministry through the foreign ministry. And that also is how the GAC members sometimes are very helpful when they reach out to their foreign ministry colleagues, because as you know, most of the countries send to the GAC representatives of the telecom administration or the regulator, and only a few sent foreign minister folks.
Thanks for this, Vinny, and thanks for this answer, Marilyn, on the topic of NRIs. We now could speak also about the CSTD. Nigel has sent an update to the mailing list a couple of days ago. Nigel, could you say a couple of words on what the process is?
Sorry. Yes, Olivia. Well, I think I've said all I really need to do on the CSTD. As I noted, we're drafting this this resolution this week, which will then go forward to ECOSOC and then the UN, and I'll be able to post the resolution when it's formally adopted to the list. Did we want to touch on the WISIS forum that took place in April?
Yes, Nigel. It's Olivia speaking. I think we should. And whilst we touch on that, I have updated the agenda to have a link to our WISIS forum page, and that WISIS forum page now also has the slide deck that was used at the WISIS forum. Do you want to say a few words, Nigel?
Well, yes, and others should as well, and including yourself. So, I mean, the WISIS forum is quite an important event for ICANN and the ICANN community this year. Our CEO Yoram Marby attended and spoke in the high level session. The WISIS forum attracts over 200 governments, I think, this year, or I mean 200 sort of separate entities anyway, and about 50 ministers. So it has a high level track, and Yoram Marby spoke in the high level track on what ICANN was doing on capacity building, etc. We held a workshop the Cross Community Working Group held a workshop on data protection and the GDPR process, the EPDB, and we also held a workshop on ICANN's organization held a workshop on capacity building. So we had quite an involvement in it, including a number of bilaterals, including with the UN Secretary General and the Director General of the the World Intellectual Property Organization. I think generally the WISIS Forum was a reasonable success this year. But others
were Nigel, just to correct, the meeting was with the ITU Secretary General, not the UN Secretary General.
Sorry, yes. Too many Secretary Generals, I do apologize.
Thanks very much for this, Nigel. Olivier Clapin-Ablon speaking. And indeed, the session that we held, that the CCWG held at the WISIS Forum went pretty well. We had a good turnout in the room. And funnily enough, on the second row, a person by the name Yanis Karkling sat there to listen quite carefully to what was being said. At the end, we didn't manage to get a balanced panel on the stage due to logistics, I guess, having people turn up and so on. So instead, what we did was to have Keith Drazik from the chair of the GNSO, and also Kurt Prince, the chair of the phase one, to take us through a slide deck, which actually is linked there, and you'll see it provided quite a full details of what processes were used and so on. And I think that a lot of people, for a lot of people in the room, it actually really enlightened them as to how the whole thing went. So really, I thought it was a worthwhile exercise, and it's always good to shed some light over what sometimes can seem from an outside point of view, from an outsider to the ICANN processes, is something which is very obscure. And one of the points, of course, is that we kept on saying that those processes are open, and certainly phase two is now coming up. And we invited people to participate as observers and being able to experience this firsthand. So that was the process. Unfortunately, of course, we haven't managed to come to closure on putting together a workshop for the forthcoming IGF. That being said, we would be the IGF is kind of at a time when it would probably be late news for phase one, if we were to speak about phase one, and too early to speak about phase two. So perhaps that was a better option, not to have something this year and perhaps do something in the future. I'm not seeing any other hands up at the moment. Are there any questions or comments on any of these processes, WISIS Forum, WISIS, IGF, CSTD, UN processes, etc.? If there are no further questions, then I think we can close this agenda item and move on to the next one, which is more of a process item, and that's the discussion on the charter. In the agenda, there is a link to a page which says here CCWG, CCEG on IG charter. And what it does have there is to have a copy of the original charter of the CCWG IG. And then a copy of the proposal that was sent to the different supporting organizations and advisory committees. The response that we have received so far from the CCNSO, we received a response in writing. You can see actually the responses are also on the screen. So effectively, the CCNSO would not ratify a formal charter as such. They don't want to be a chartering organization. And in fact, the CCNSO has started in the past couple of weeks its own internet governance coordination group for the country codes, so for their members. And as soon as they've worked out their processes and so on, then they will be in touch to see whether they will appoint a liaison. The chair of that working group in the CCNSO is Pierre Bonis from AFNIC. And I know Pierre very well. And we have spoken, and he said he just needs the time to work things out on their side. The GNSO has responded that they would also not ratify a CCEG. they have a preference for an uncharted group, like a discussion group, that could continue in the same way as it is doing now, if you want, but without any chartering. So without a, without the possibility of submitting formal advice per se. The GAC is still considering the process. Of course, the GAC was not a chartering organization of this ECWG. But what it does say is that there will be some members of the GAC that will participate in the calls and also on the mailing list. And the ALAC has said that they're okay with ratification if others are ratifying. I think there's a high interest on the ALAC and in the at-large community for these issues. But that's where we are at present. And so that kind of brings us to the question as to if this group was not to be chartered officially, then would it be able to continue its activities? And would it be able to receive the current support that it has, which is effectively to have conference calls and space at ICANN meetings, and also Nigel being able to, and other GE staff being able to report over to this group on a regular basis.
sorry, it's Marilyn. Can I ask you a quick question?
Yes, go ahead, Marilyn, and then I'll go over to the queue. And just before that, should I just let Nigel speak to if there's anything that I've forgotten or missed out on this, and then I can give you the floor.
Yes, thank you very much, Olivia. I think you've outlined the situation. There was actually a letter from the GAC saying that they would continue to monitor the activities of the cross community engagement group. Just really to note that since our Kobe meeting, which as we've reported on this call before, you know, attracted an awful lot of people and was a great success, both the face to face and the internet governance public meeting, we've received an awful lot of requests for people to go on the mailing list, including I would estimate at least 30 odd GAC members have gone on our mailing list. So certainly there's continued interest in what we do in this whether it's a chartered group or whether it's not a chartered group, there's interest in being able to have the dialogue on these internet governance issues that affect ICANN. Thank you.
Thank you, Nigel. Over to Marilyn Cade, and then afterwards I'll take Shiva Subramanian's question afterwards. So Marilyn, you have the floor.
I'm very disappointed. It's Marilyn speaking. I'm very disappointed about the GNSO Policy Council's comments. And I want to be really clear, because I know there are many newcomers to ICANN, and we're very blessed and appreciative of that on this call. But the GNSO Policy Council is a narrow part of the GNSO. It is not the equivalent of the CCNSO Council. Its bylaws define what it's responsible for, and I'm not questioning the fact that we did not get endorsement from the GNSO Policy Council, but I am sort of raising a point here that what we're seeing is a growing interest and a growing concern from various parts of the community as they become more aware through our work about how external internet governance ecosystem activities affect ICANN and may even limit ICANN's effectiveness or even harm it. And I think the growth of that is a sign of the importance of the continuation of this group, whatever we're able to call it. And so I just want to, I understand that if we're not a chartered group, then we can't provide formal advice, but informal advice is sometimes just as powerful if it raises awareness and creates an activized and informed community of discussion within ICANN. So I'm hoping that we will all be very positive and strong and encouraging about the importance of continuing the work that we do and the importance of having the effective and engagement of the ICANN staff that is supporting us right now, Nigel, Vera, and Desiree, etc.
Thanks for this, Marilyn. It's Olivia speaking, and I totally agree with the points you're making. And in fact, I should mention that in his email, Keith Drazik was highly supportive of this group continuing its activities, just mentioning that there were issues with regards to using chartering and using the word cross-community, as some felt that it wasn't completely cross-community since specific members of the community were there, but there was no actual, there was no balance or exact balance of participants. That's, of course, going into the details, but certainly the important point there was that Keith did mention he was, and there was good support on the council for the group to continue its activity, just in a slightly different format, I guess. Sheba Subramanian Mutasami, you have the floor.
Thank you, Olivier. Sir Subramanian here. I think we have to get past raising awareness, discussing, and informal advice, and formalize the cross-community working group as a multi-stakeholder chartered initiative. So that would be significant, especially in the context of more and more pressures from the multilateral forum on the internet governance process. ICANN is a multi-stakeholder organization, and it's the first or probably the only significant successful experiment in the multi-stakeholder process. And a cross-community working group being chartered by the stakeholders of ICANN would be another step in formalizing the multi-stakeholder process, and that would be a good defense against excessive overtures from the multilateral process. I think we should charter this. Thank you.
Thank you for this, Sheva. It's Olivia speaking, and that was what was on the table, but that's not what the supporting organizations and advisory committees went for. So I think that we've kind of gone past that point now. We've put it on the table. It's been refused. And so maybe we might wish to bring this back up a year from now or later in the future. But certainly at present, the answer has been given, and this is not where we are at the moment. I should add, by the way, that and I did mention the support, requiring the support of ICANN, Government Engagement Department, but also the very good relationship that we have with the Board Working Group on Internet Governance. And I just remembered that we have received an apology from Leon Sanchez for today's call. He wanted to be on it, but he has a conflict on this. So if we could please record the apology from Leon. But certainly in my discussions and interaction with Leon Sanchez, there is complete support from the board working group to continue the work that we're doing with them, or at least continue the interaction with them. So that's where we are now. And Nigel, so just to get an answer, I guess, on the question that's on the table here, if this group was not chartered officially, would it still be able to benefit from the ability to to book rooms, etc., and all that, or is there an actual barrier to this happening one way or other? And I do note, by the way, that the sort of the parallel that I'm looking at being with the cross-community work party on human rights, which is primarily supported by the NCUC or NCSG, where they are able to continue their work as well, but supported by a single stakeholder group.
Yes, thank you, Olivier. Yes, I mean, we staff government engagement, I mean, it was formerly global stakeholder engagement, have continued to support this cross-community work since it was initiated back in 2013, and we certainly intend to go on doing so. I don't think it fundamentally changes the ability to book rooms for sessions, and that's always quite an issue, but not because of, you know, the status of the group, so to speak. And it is true to say that there is a cross-community working party on human rights, and that has staff support as well. In this vein, but we do think here in the organization that we do need to come to a decision. I mean, not today, on how we move forward, because if we accept, as I think, as Olivier has pointed out, that the majority of the SOs and ACs that had a locus with the cross-community working group on internet governance have now, if you like, come back to us and said that they don't really wish it to be a chartered group. So taking that forward, then perhaps we should review our charter and perhaps a number of us produce a revised draft of the charter, and so that can be agreed at some point and posted, so everyone's aware of what the situation is. Thank you.
Thanks for this, Nigel. It's Olivier speaking. I mean, the strange thing, of course, for this is the preference for an unchartered group, where we need to develop a charter for the unchartered group. I don't know, maybe we won't call it a charter then, we'll just call it another name. But okay, that's where we are now. So I'm reticent to spend too much time on the topic, but obviously it's something that we have to move forward with. What I suggest moving forward is perhaps that if anybody is interested in this, we can just put a few terms of reference, maybe a subset of what our charter is, or what our proposed charter is, and just put this as sort of guidelines of what the group would be doing, recognizing that this is not a charter, a bit like a document that is not a document, or is it a proposal paper that's not a paper, a non-paper, that's what it is. We could have a non-charter. Terms of reference, there you go. Yeah, terms of reference rather than a charter. And that can be done. I'll try and follow up with that to see what we can do with this. Okay, we've got 10 minutes left, and on agenda item 4, we have a titled discussion on ITUD membership. This is primarily as a sort of starting point. I know that there was a big discussion that took place in our last face-to-face meeting, and some points were made by various people during the meeting. But of course, things have moved on. So first, I guess we can have an update from ICANN staff on where we are on this and whether there's been any progress. I'm not quite sure who wishes to take this. Is it Nigel again?
I know on where we are on the process, Olivia, thank you. As I think was reported in Kobe, which was in March, ICANN submitted an application to be a sector member of ITUD at the end of February, on what's called a fee exemption. So this means government organisation apply under the fee exemption category, where you have to Sorry. Can you hear me?
Thanks, Olivier. It's Olivier. I'm not quite sure whether it's my line that is breaking up or whether it's your line that's breaking up. Can everyone else hear you correctly?
He was breaking up a little bit, but not much.
Okay, I'll try and continue. I do recognize that we have a problem in this office sometimes with the Wi-Fi.
It's a lot clearer now, so that's fine.
Yeah. So very briefly, we've applied on a fee exemption basis on the basis of reciprocity, and that the ITU secretariat and ITU members can attend ICANN meetings in an open fashion, etc. The application goes before the ITU council in a few weeks' time, in the second week of June. It goes forward to the council in a paper that lists also other organizations that are proposing to be members on a fee exemption basis of ITUD or R or T. There's about 8 organizations listed in this paper. If the paper is approved, which it usually is, it's not a controversial issue in particular, then we automatically at that point become a member of ITUD. But the ICANN board has said that they would ratify that position after the ITU had granted the membership at the council. Thank you.
Okay, thanks for this, Nigel. I see a hand up from Shiva Subramanian. Is that a new hand, or was that from the previous intervention? Okay, so next is Judith Hellestein.
Actually,
this is Judith Hellestein for the record. So Nigel, my question is ICANN looking to be only a member of ITUD, ITUT? Are you looking to participate in the regional groups? Because I had heard that I think someone from ICANN was at the CTEL meeting. So I was just curious about that.
Yes, thank you very much, Judith. So the application is this is Nigel Hickson. The application is for ITUD, as we outlined in Kobe, and the board have noted that in due course there are good arguments, perhaps for membership of ITUT, the standardisation sector, and that would be subject to consideration once we become members. In terms of the regional groups, we are already fairly active in the regional groups. Fortunately, the regional groups of the ITU often reach out beyond the, if you like, the membership base, and so we take part in the regional groups in Africa, in CITEL, Latin America, in the Americas, and in Europe. And elsewhere sometimes as well. So that wouldn't change, but it might become easier being a sector member. Thank you.
Thanks, Nigel. Next is Marilyn Cade.
Thank you, Olivier. And Nigel, thank you very much for this report. It's Marilyn speaking. I'm one of the people, along with Tony Holmes, that raised a number of substantive concerns about ICANN org taking this decision when there were so many questions raised by informed and experienced members of the community. And while I appreciate the rationale that was presented, I also must just speak in support of the concerns that were raised before so that they are continually reflected, because many of the participants in this working group, whatever we call ourselves, you haven't spent 20 plus years like Tony Holmes and I have working in study groups at the ITU. You have not spent the hours and hours and hours of sitting in a room where the only people who are actually allowed to speak are the governments. And, you know, it's a farce if anybody is telling anyone else that being in a room necessarily brings you to the same level of a government. The ITU is a specialized agency, and that needs to be continually reflected. It is a specialized agency of governments and government representatives. And I understand the importance of ICANN staff and the RARs and ISOC and others wanting and needing to attend certain working sessions. But I think it's really important to understand that that is not where the decisions are taken. The decisions are taken at council. And so I am not any longer objecting to the fact this decision was taken over the strong objection of many of us from the community, but I am just noting the importance of everyone on this group understanding that specialized agencies of the UN are not open and inclusive and multi-stakeholder. They allow an observer type participation. Now, we can keep thinking we have a crowbar in our hand and we're prying the process open. It's important to have informed participants, and so I applaud that need, but I think we have to continue to remind ourselves that there are parties, some on staff, some in governments, who do not believe in what ICANN is about. So while we defend ourselves, let's not think that we are being changing the culture that exists in that organization.
Thanks for this, Marilyn. Just a quick follow-up question for you on this. Would you have thought that a different path would have produced or had the potential to produce better results than this?
Yes, and Tony and I both spoke to that. A very tightly managed memorandum of understanding, which, by the way, certain other organizations have negotiated at a very high level. And I don't want to leave that out as a future possibility, because you cannot look. Members of the ITU Council are elected; those are governments only. You don't get to be in the room. I've attended many council meetings as a member of a government delegation. But even when you're in the room as a member of a government delegation, you are bound by the position of that government. When you attend the ITU Plentypot as a sector member, you're in an observer category. If you're on a delegation of a government, you are bound by the position of that government. Now, you can influence the position of that government by a lot of hard work. And I think ICANN is trying to do much of that by participating in the regional groups. But in order to affect the national government, you got to work at a national level.
Okay. Well, thanks for this. I guess this provides us with, or at least provides ICANN staff with an aim moving forward. I'm sure there are plenty of others, but this one is an interesting one. Certainly, perhaps this could be a good first step to get further involved and then move towards an MOU in the future. No doubt, Nigel, is there anything else that you wish to add to this, or is that it?
Olivia, I know there's a question in the chat if you want to take that.
Ah, okay. Oh, yes, sorry. So there was a question from Abdel Jalil Bashar Bong. And the question was, what are the impacts of ITUD membership of ICANN to the current multi-stakeholder model inside ICANN? I'm not quite sure who wanted to answer this one.
Well, Olivia, I'll just say one word and conclude on this from our perspective. I mean, first of all, thank you very much for the comments. Thank you, Marilyn. Marilyn has done more than anyone to champion the multi-stakeholder model in a range of different institutions. I certainly would not take issue on anything, and it is a constant you know, it's a constant, not battle exactly, but it's a constant process to try and get our voice heard in these institutions. In terms of the membership and the multi-stakeholder model, I don't think it affects it. I mean, being a sector member of ITUT doesn't fundamentally change what we do. We'll always report back into ICANN any issues that arise in ITU in the same way as we do at the moment through this group and through the appropriate fora. So I don't think it changes the model inside ICANN. Thank you.
Okay, thanks very much for this, Nigel. So Olivia speaking, and indeed we are reaching the end of this call. Let's follow up if there are further discussions about this on the mailing list, with still the option, if there is a demand for that, for a call that will focus specifically on this and perhaps on discussing any way forward from here or any potential next steps and so on this topic. Let's move to any other business.
It's Marilyn. What happened to the discussion, and maybe I missed it, the draft document that ICANN staff developed about engagement, and maybe I missed, I thought we were going to have a call on it, and I could have missed it.
Olivia speaking, the one, in what way? Engagement with the ITU?
No, it was a document. Teresa Swinehart and others showed up at our last public meeting and presented I hesitate to use the word charter, but I think that was what it was called.
Yes, thank you for this. It's Olivia Crépin-Leblanc speaking. I'm not sure. Nigel, do you have a follow-up on this? It's correct, yeah. Teresa did share a document with us and got some feedback on this.
Thank you, Olivia. Mandy Carver's on the call, who would be in a better position to perhaps answer that. I know the draft charter that Joran Marby put out had various people had commented on it. It was, you know, it wasn't put out to public consultation, but people were able to comment on it. But Mandy might be able to update us more on that. If not, we can provide something in writing. Thank you.
Hello, this is Mandy, for the record. The document Marilyn's referring to was a draft charter for the Legislative Tracking Initiative. Rather confusingly, was titled about government engagement. But it was a document specifically looking at an evolution of the way ICANN.org was following legislative, or a proposal for how to follow legislative regulatory initiatives in nation states, in regional intergovernmental organizations, and also in the resolutions, norms, principles, etc., that come up in the global IGO space. And the premise was to identify the focus areas, which is anything that appears to impact ICANN.org's remit or the ability of the community to make policy in the ICANN multi-stakeholder space. And it was a request for feedback and thoughts. We've received some written commentary and also from participation in GNSO Council call and CCNSO commentary. And so where things are right now is the process that was in place for tracking and reporting, we've put the reporting process on pause in order to take on board the rich and detailed amount of feedback we've received from the community, both on the nature of the charter, but also on the nature of the reports, to better align what we're doing with what the reports to what the community would find useful, and also to further discuss mechanisms for engaging the community. The priority that has come through to us from these comments has very much been about the importance of engaging with the existing community. And we take that on board. So that's where we are right now. We're in a listening and information gathering, feedback gathering space. And then there'll be further communication on the changing of the reporting cycles and what's in those reports to the community. So if there are comments on the legislative tracking initiative and thoughts about changes you want to see in that charter, we'd be more than happy to receive those. But again, this is it was a proposed draft charter for the legislative tracking initiative, which is an evolution of the work that was already going on within ICANN.org following legislative, regulatory, and IGO activities that potentially impact ICANN's remit.
Thanks very much for this, Mandy. It's Olivia speaking. And Marilyn has put a follow-up on the chat asking whether there is a location where we can see any of the comments of the consultation, or can the comments be shared with this group, or is there a way, I guess there is a way to comment and so on, but... So that was one question. The other one is, where should we post, or where do we post the comments? I know that it's been mentioned during the face-to-face meeting, but perhaps if a reminder note could be sent to our mailing list, that would be helpful. Mandy?
Thank you. It's Mandy Carver for the record. I can send out to this mailing list both the link for tracking feedback, where people can write directly in. And as Marilyn has noted in her comment, blogs aren't the best way to communicate with the ICANN community. Yes, we absolutely take that on board. This was done via an announcement. It was done via a blog. There were three different iterations of the report that were posted. And what this has taught us is a lot about what is effective communication and what is not. So I will send you the email link, and or people can send me things directly, but I'll put the email link into the chat here.
Thank you for this, Mandy. It's Olivia speaking, and as I mentioned, perhaps just a reminder to the mailing list with the link. And I'm not sure whether the blogs themselves have a specific link, but that would be helpful for those people that are not that didn't participate on the call today and weren't in the room over in Kobe. And with this, I think we need to close the call because we are 11 minutes past the official end. So if there are no further discussions on any of the business, then thank you very much to everyone for having participated on today's call. It's been very informative. We are working to try and obtain a space at the next ICANN meeting in Marrakesh. As you know, it's a policy meeting, so it's only a four-day meeting, a bit short. Traditionally, we've managed to get an hour with the Board Working Group on Internet Governance. This is still in discussion at the moment. So as soon as we know, then we'll announce it. We'll announce the results of this. I don't know, Nigel, have you had any feedback on this or not yet?
No, I haven't. Something I will be following up fairly immediately. We have to get a position fairly soon so we can announce it. Thank you.
Yes, thanks, Nigel. It's Olivier speaking. I understand that the deadline for the request is the end of this week, tomorrow. So please check maybe with Gisela, who I know has submitted some things in the past, and see how that works, because she's been very close to the whole process of agenda preparation and so on, especially with Tanzania. So, okay, well, thanks everyone. And this call is now closed. So thank you. Have a very good morning, afternoon, evening, or night.
Bye.
Goodbye. Thank you very much.
Bye.